You are listening to the Pencil and Paper Podcast Network.
Welcome back to Super Mega Crash Beyond. My name is Stephen White. With me, as always, is my co-host, Lacey Finley.
Happy Monday.
So, this weather needs to make up its mind. I don't know about
you. I'm used to it, I guess. Like, I just know we always get about 3 or 4 false springs before it actually happens. It's just how it always is. Of course, everyone's probably like, who knows what time of year this is coming out? Like, what do you mean? It's like 30,000 degrees outside. Well, you know what? Magic.
We have been dealing with terrible
weather.
It goes
off and on. Yeah. Oh, as yours might be worse. I don't know. I'm used to it. It was like really nice, maybe 70s or something for probably 2 or 3 days, like enough to really make you love it and fall in love with it coming. And then, yeah, back to like 30s again. Yeah. But we might have 2 or 3 more before it actually gets warm.
Yeah. I mean, I know that the storms are starting now, so we've got to worry about those, the tornado season. And I'm not fond of it. I've been lucky in my life to have always been away from them at just the right spot.
Not like in a tornado alley.
Right. So I hope that trend continues.
I hope that for you as well.
And for everybody else, for that matter. I know that's not feasible for everybody, but fingers crossed everybody's safe right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, this damn weather. It's a tease, you know?
Yeah, it really is.
Because, like you said, the nice sunny days, it's warm. Mm-hmm. You're just like, oh man, I want to get out in it. So this past week, I did. It's like one day I said, you know what? I'm going to go to the park and I'm going to go for a walk. I'm just going to soak it all up because I haven't done that in a while. It was a good walk. And then a few days later, I was like, you know what? Lawn could use a mowing. You know, it's about that time. Yeah. Why not? Let's go ahead and let's start.
Crack open a beer, mow the lawn, get in the spirit. Yeah, yeah.
So over the course of 2 days, I just I mowed my lawn, just trying to get some stuff done. And then I thought, hey, I'm gonna do some other landscaping work that I've been thinking about. Now, granted, I didn't have all the tools that I needed, but I was just like, I'll get it started, you know, at least get something going. That way, since I'm mid-project, I won't be like, I can't start on it. I'm already in the middle of it. So I just need to go get whatever I need to finish up and be done. And that's going to take some work. And my body is very, very tight. It's like, what are you doing to me?
Sitting around for a few months. What's this tomfoolery?
Yeah, so we're trying to readjust. I feel very exhausted right now, but I say in a good way because I feel like I've been doing something, like I've earned the exhaustion. You know what I mean? Yeah, I don't like just sitting around doing nothing. I mean, I can be a couch
potato.
Everyone
likes that, but yeah.
Yeah. You know. At some point.
Eventually you start to feel like a garbage human, or I do anyway. Yeah. You know, where I'm just like, what am I doing still just sitting in here all day? Like, the road is over. You're allowed to go outside. It's cool. Mm. Or we've deemed it over anyway.
But I mean.
Whatever. But I'm allowed to leave. Yeah.
But it's been over the last few weeks that we've had rain and cold weather.
It's been a lot of rain.
Always on the weekends, it seems like, too. That's the other thing.
It's kind of interesting, right? Yeah.
It's like Mother Nature's like, oh, you want to go outside today? You're not working? Fuck you.
Well, I gave you sun all week. This is my break to grind.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like, do that shit during the middle of the week, please.
Right. Like the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
We all cry at like 11 a.m. on a Tuesday. You do it, too.
So I'm hoping at least in the next, I'm hoping we're in a trend where everything's starting to get better, especially now by the time people are listening to this, they're going to be like, oh yeah, the weather's getting great.
Weather's gross. Yeah. You know? We've been humid and 100 degrees for several weeks now. Yeah. Like, which there's really no in between anymore. Is there?
which is odd, but
yeah, no, we'll get that too, though. Maybe a couple 3 days. Mm-hmm. Like, I think ever since I've lived here, the longest I've seen like triple digits stretch over was maybe a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. We'd get like a break of 95 or some crap and then back up, you know. And the only reason why I remember it so well is because we still had assholes wanting to sit on the patio, and I'm like, why are you doing this to me? Why are you making me come out here and sweat, get blasted with the AC, come out here and sweat, get blasted? No wonder I felt like garbage all summer, you know?
Yeah.
And why do you want to sit out here?
Yeah,
it's so hot. And then you bitch about your iced tea getting watered down. I can't control science. You know where we could keep your ice cold? Inside with climate control. That's where we could do it. Like, I get it, you know, when it's cold out, as long as it is here, if it's able to go outside, people are going to do it. Mm-hmm. Like, I've lived here long enough where, yep, as soon as it hits 40, the streets are full. People are like, summer, you know,
woo!
Like, we've been inside all winter. Although I will take this winter over any winter. It's been so easy. Kind of scary how easy it was. Like, was it cold? Sure. But this was a breeze. Even the snow we got didn't hang out for that long.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, awesome or scary? Because we should get pounded every year.
Well, I mean, we've...
The first year I moved up here, we had snow in April. Just context.
Okay.
And I cried. Because I was like, if I have to do 6 months of snow, why am I living here? You know, I was very upset. I was very upset. But it's not normal.
Well, no, especially down here, because our snow deposits have been minimal at best most of my life, and now they're becoming more common.
Y'all better start investing in like snow plows and salt, because I think you're in it now.
Yeah,
I think y'all are in it now.
Because at least one time over the last few years, there's been at least 1 week where we'll get a big snow and it ices up everything, and I'm practically stuck in my house for that week.
And people everyone rolls the sidewalks up. They're like, I can't do it, man.
And what really pisses me off about it, too, is trying to explain to people why I can't make it to work. Like, I could probably do my work from home. There are maybe
one
or two.
Your people know why you can't make it to work?
They should, but I feel like you have these people who still are able to make it in, or the plan is just like, well, if you can make it in, it's like, I would. But one, I don't have like an all-terrain vehicle meant for ice. Two, they don't plow my road until they absolutely have to.
And you have like an old-timey side road, right? Like I've seen out like when you've done filming and stuff, like it's just like a ditch, right?
No.
Oh, did they pave it?
No, this is, I mean, it's a main, I don't want to say
maybe
main.
I'm thinking of, maybe I don't know where you filmed Man Cave then.
Well, that was kind of an old back road. That was in that area. It was it would be lesser, I guess, than kind of what you're thinking of. Sure.
Just like, well, I guess I shouldn't say old timey, but like in more country roads.
Yeah.
Because when you start getting into the more country area, it's just like it's the road and then it's a ditch and then there's grass or whatever the hell is going on over there. Every time I go to Louisiana, it's like that. It's just like, if you mess up a minute, you're in a ditch.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, why do your ditches have to be so deep? But whatever.
Yeah. No, my road has a lot of traffic that comes down through it. And it shouldn't even be considered a main highway road. But goddamn it, people treat it like one. And
well,
a racetrack.
Is it kind of a shortcut from some stop sign or stoplight somewhere, maybe?
It's really not. I don't know where they're going. Because if you pull out of our driveway and head one direction, you're going to go right into the town that we live in. Like, it's not even a mile down that side of the road. You go the opposite direction, you start getting into those small little towns that are unincorporated and people don't know about. And it's like, yeah, I live in, you know, this town. And be like, where's that? And it's like, well, you got to go here, here, here. And then you
isn't that when you just say Nashville or whatever your closest biggest city is?
Yeah. I mean, that's what I do for the most part. If I just want to simplify, if they're just like, where are you from? Nashville. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't know where the hell Watertown is, and I don't really feel like explaining it to you, so Nashville.
Sure. Yeah.
But
and then everyone's like, oh, I have a friend from Nashville. Do you know Dave? And it's like,
yeah, the thousands and thousands of people that live.
I know.
Sure, I
humans
do.
Humans are funny, you know.
But
I
yeah.
I could ask that too. Like, I know so-and-so from Chicago. I'm like, are you going to really ask me out of like 4 million people if I've met the one Bob you knew in high school?
Yeah. The chances are very slim.
I mean, it could happen. It could happen.
But chances are slim.
Chances are very slim because I don't talk to people, guys. So even if I talked to Bob, that was probably it.
Exactly.
Anyway, so yeah, your story.
Screw all the snow and ice and whatnot, because it's just I don't like driving on it. I've done it before.
It's not fun.
And when you slide, I've slid off the road into a ditch. Okay, I don't want to do that again.
No,
that is
black
one of those...
ice is the worst. Too.
It is. It really
is. It's the one time an accident would happen where I'm forgiving, because like there's legit nothing you could do when you hit black ice. Every other accident, it can be whittled down to someone just doing something ignorant or not paying attention. But black ice, you don't even see that shit until you're already spinning, you know? Like, yeah.
And that's kind of where I'm at with it. I'm not going to risk my life for anything when it comes to ice. Now, granted, obviously there are exceptions to that rule. If it was like a life or death situation, then we could have a conversation.
Not to make a water heater.
No, I'm not going to do that. Yeah. Okay.
The same for me. Although I don't have excuses. Like, I could have all sorts of weather and I can still make it in.
That's true.
The nice thing corporations don't think about with work from home, there's no calling in, like, I can't make it into the office today. It's like, asshole, get into your other room. You can make this happen.
And see, that's kind of why I feel like I could argue in favor of working from home, you know? Like,
could a bulk of yours be done from home, like, once or twice a week?
I genuinely think so, yeah. Like, there's at least one part of my job that would not require me to be in the office. I would just need the list that I work from. And access to my computer. And I didn't even have to be on their server. I can access that website that I file these reports on my own. Right here.
Oh,
from
wow.
Home.
So they don't even need a VPN or anything for you. You can just see.
See, I could deal with it all from here. But they've never given me the option. And I don't
think you live in an area that would think that that's work.
Well, some people at work do get to work from home, luckily.
Oh, really?
Because, you know, the loud one that likes to eat and talk and eat and talk.
But isn't that a good thing then?
Oh, yeah. No, 100%.
Like, at least you're getting a break somehow.
Like, I genuinely wish that there were 2 days I could work from home to be the 2 days he would be in the office.
There you go.
And then only have to deal with him 1 day out of the week, because he takes another 2 days from home. Mm. They got into he and this other person got into an argument the other day, and I was so close. Like, I had almost reached my breaking point to the point where I was going to say, shut the fuck up, people are trying to work! Because it was arguing over the dumbest non-work-related thing. I don't even remember what it was, but it was just like, why are you two arguing over this?
And so loudly.
And so loudly!
Yeah, like, shh.
It's like, take it somewhere else. People are trying to focus. People are trying to work. And we're having to hear the two of you bicker about something so childish. Shut up.
But less work would get done working from home, right? Am I right? You know, they had time for all of these, like, water cooler conversations and running around.
Yeah.
But the boss can keep an eye on you. I still believe a lot of it is just because the boss hasn't figured out where they're actually integral when you people aren't in the office for them to just kind of look over. They're like, what do I actually do here? Oh, I guess not that much, you know? So we need you to come back in so I can feel like a boss again. That's just a theory I have. It could be wrong. I think some places, though, that's probably the case. Or they paid rent for a building that they're just like, I'm not willing to get rid of it, so you're coming in. It's like, well, how about save that rent?
Sure.
Y'all are big money-grubbing, greedy corporations. I'm surprised that isn't the first thing you're like, what? We can make you all work more because there's no such thing as like sick days, really, or, you know, like can't drive in. What? They make all sorts of extra money.
No, I agree.
And maybe some other people could have a home because you're not using this expensive business space for nonsense. We could turn it into an apartment maybe or something. I don't know. Look at me wanting humans to have a roof.
You know? Yeah, no, they're building more stuff around here.
Oh, good. Yeah. Like homes or actual businesses.
I don't know.
I hope it's homes. People need homes. Jesus Christ. We need homes that we can afford to live in.
Well, they are building tons of those. Whether you can afford to live in them is the bigger question.
If people don't buy them, the price will start to drop. But unfortunately, okay. I guess there was enough people who got rich out of nowhere that I'm unaware of, because people are paying that much money for these homes. And I'm like, really?
I don't understand it either.
Fuck me, I guess. Like, I don't know. When the house across the street from me went for $1 million, I was just like, life doesn't make sense anymore. You should have what? I showed you a picture of the house?
No.
And I'm not, the inside is super nice, don't get me wrong, but there ain't no $1 million worth of crap to me around here. And maybe my values are just way different for money than other people. You know, like, I don't give a shit about it, really. I just participate because I'm made to. But it's a green box. It's literally a green box. I remember it getting built because when we moved in, it was like a condemned house across the street and they tore it down. So it was just flat land for a while. Someone bought it, built this green box, has no character. Like, all of our houses look so cool too because they were built in like 1800s or some shit. Like, really cool architecture. And then there's just this green box in the middle of it all. There's barely a yard. They do have a garage, but I don't see them parking in it. They're still parking on the street. If I had a garage, Jesus Christ, you would not be catching me parking on the street. Not even a little bit. Knowing I have a place to put my car when I come home every day, deal.
Yeah.
And you're going to pay $1 million to still fight with street parking? Dude, I was floored that they said that's how much they sold it for. And then the people next door to us are putting up their house now, too. So I have a feeling, because the people behind us here, remember when I got to rent out the spot in the alleyway?
Yeah.
He sold the house, those two plots of land, 2.1.
Jesus Christ.
And you should see the houses that are there too. Like, they, you could tell they rehabbed it out to be like one floor to rent out, second floor to rent out, you know, so they could probably got like six apartments in there. So I'm going to have to move here very soon because I can't afford the area. Apparently, yeah. It just like got on some best place to live in Chicago area because, Jesus Christ, they're not worth it in my mind.
Yeah, yeah.
When
I see
the amount of land you're getting for that kind of money, I don't know. I guess you just have to have FU money, right? And you just wanted the experience of living in the city for a little bit and you can afford, because this one next to me, this is probably the third couple that's lived there and moved since I've been here. The first one, she got kicked out because she wasn't paying the bank. Yeah. And it was gross. Like, I guess she had like 30 dogs or something. It was really crazy. Yeah. But we didn't really hardly know her. Like, I think she was getting kicked out as we were moved in. And then, you know, the first family spent that much rehabbing it. This family spent that much. So I could only imagine what they're going to sell it for now.
Right.
It's just, what, dude. I don't know. You guys should just look at him and go, what? But maybe rich people will be like, that's it. And I'm like, what? I would expect several acres for that kind of money. I don't know.
Yeah.
At least a basement. Jesus Christ. Anyway.
I mean, to be fair, like where I was saying that they're building all sorts of stuff, just for context of how this is working, the house, since you brought it up, that we filmed Man Cave in is no longer standing because they bought that and are clearing it out for something. I don't know what.
Man. It's probably going to be a bunch of businesses or apartment buildings.
There's
or
a lot.
Maybe businesses.
Yeah, there's a lot of farmland, like that whole area. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Just they're
I remember when you were filming the wrestling episode, you could see all the land that's right back there.
And now it's all in development. So what they're building, I don't know, but it was
we ruin everything.
Yeah. You pass by there now because I can see it from the main road. And when I just saw construction work, you know, machines and just crap everywhere, it was just like, man, look at that. It's a shame.
We can't have anything green left. We've got to stick a building on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right.
Here we are.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Just complain about life.
That's all we're going to do. So anyway, you had a fun idea for today. Why don't you explain what we were going to do?
I thought it was fun. So I thought I would just ask ChatGPT, hey, let's just play the prompt I gave it was, I want to play a game with my best friend. Give me one question at a time that I would ask just to learn more about the other person. Proceed when I give you the next prompt. And it said, of course, let's get started. And then I thought whatever question it asked us, we would just answer about ourselves. Maybe we'll learn something new. Maybe the audience will learn something new. Maybe it'll suck and we'll move on to the next question. I don't know.
Okay.
I didn't prep for it beyond putting in a prompt and seeing what questions it put up the first time I did it, just to make sure it would do it.
Okay.
So I tested that just to make sure I knew how to make it do one at a time. Because sometimes you ask ChatGPT and it'll give you like this full page of explanation where it's just like, I just needed the answer. I didn't really care how you got there. So you have to like, you got to talk to ChatGPT in a specific way, I found. Like the Hubs is like, if you're saying thank you and good morning and all this stuff, it really changes how they'll respond it to you. And you know what? It actually does. It's mm-hmm. kind of funny where I'm like, why don't you use please and thank you as a machine, you know? But yeah, it does change kind of how you get the answers and stuff like that. But yeah, so I just figured we'd do that, I guess, until time ran or we got bored and then call it for the day.
Okay.
Call it. So yeah, so that was the prompt that I put in. ChatGPT was very excited, of course, with an exclamation point. Let's get started. So Steven.
Okay.
The first burning question from ChatGPT. These are probably all going to be very superficial, but I think it's hilarious. What's one thing you've always wanted to learn but haven't had the chance to yet?
All right. I actually have an answer that I can pull right from. So
ooh, good.
At some point, I would have said Japanese, but I am learning that. So that's out of the window. But mm-hmm. something I would really, really love to learn for whatever reason is playing a piano. Why?
Ooh.
I just feel like I would have so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
Playing the 88 keys and just, I don't know, every time I see people who can just sit down at a piano and just start stroking the keys and just doing their magic, it's just, I'm in awe. Mm-hmm. And I want to do that. I think that's the one instrument that I've always been drawn to the most. And I don't know why, other than it just seems like an instrument that I could easily handle. Mm-hmm. Like I could figure out the keys, I could know where the notes are, and the people who can do it without looking, they just know where it's at. I think I could also pull that off.
Oh sure, with practice those things become second nature for sure.
It's like typing. I mm-hmm. never thought in a million years, and I didn't realize it until one day it just clicked, that I mm-hmm. was typing without looking at my fingers.
Yep.
And I do it so much, then I'm like, holy shit, I can actually do this. And I remember as a kid, I had a teacher who could do that. And
well, as a kid, like we were learning keyboards.
Yeah.
I mean, we had typewriters and shit, you know, but mm-hmm. like, yeah.
But they always used to say, you know, if you can type with without looking, you know, you're mm-hmm. just getting into a rhythm. And at one point in my day at work, and this was years ago, I realized mm-hmm. that I was doing that. I was like, holy shit. And I kind of practiced. I played with the idea without looking and knew the word that I wanted to type. And my fingers did all the typing. And I was like, holy shit, I can actually mm-hmm. do this. So I think piano would be kind of in that same nature. You know where your keys Absolutely. Are. Mm-hmm. You know how to hit it. You know what notes you're looking for. I don't know. I think it would be a lot of fun. I would love to do it. And I think it would just be something as a skill that I could have and just entertain.
There you go.
You know,
I used to be able to play it very well.
Really?
And that's one thing that I kick myself for never keeping up with past high school. I was writing music, going to conventions for our school, whatever my school is. I know we're all like, in your school? Yeah, I know. A bunch of other Christians. We would compete. And I'd make things of amazing grace or something like that. But yeah, and I actually was really good. I wasn't looking anymore and all that kind of stuff, which is why now in my adulthood, I'm kicking myself for not keeping that up. I can still read the music and I still know where it is and everything. I've just definitely nowhere near as quick, you know, where I was able to just like do the drills within, you know, a very little period of time. I had a wonderful Japanese woman who was my teacher and she was very strict, very strict. So you learned. You learned. She was not playing around. You came for that hour. You are working for that hour and you had homework and you better know it when you come back. She will not waste her time anymore. She was so lovely, though. But yeah, interesting. Yeah. I think you still could.
I think I could, too. I just need to do like I've done everything else and just get out there and do it. Mm-hmm. And I think
just get like a little keyboard or something so you're not spending stupid amounts of money, you know.
Yeah, I think even a keyboard, because you know, I would love to have a piano. I feel like mm-hmm. my mother and father had a piano at one point, but I think they gave it away. And it's very much like some other things that I would love to have in my home that I just don't have yet.
Yeah, but I didn't have the space.
Yeah, I think that would be the other. Like, I've got a room that's kind of our den, mm-hmm. but I'd really have to think about where it would have to go. It's just,
and you don't want it on an outside wall either. It's kind of like that because like it does kind of affect that if it gets too cold, you know, with having to tune it a lot. So I had it when my hubs and I first moved into our first place. He surprised me with grabbing it from mom's house. We had an old spinet piano. Mm-hmm. And I played it for a little bit, but then when we moved to Chicago, we had nowhere to go with it. And his buddy was kind enough to keep it for us. And it's been there ever since.
Aww.
It's been like 17 years now. I hope he's sold it or done something with it, because I honestly thought I would have grabbed it back at some point, and we never did. We just kind of like dumped this thing in his home, was like, see ya, and never came back. That wasn't the intention, though. I'm very sorry, Scott.
But I mean,
listening.
You've talked about your apartment. I've seen like the couch so debacle small. That you.
Yeah. Measuring's hard, apparently, for Wayfair. I'm still not going to take all of the responsibility for that one.
Fair.
I showed everybody the page that I ordered it from, and I'm like, does that not say 85 inches? They're like, yes. And I'm like, okay.
He's like, where did I go
Why
wrong?
Why is it 110 now? So we can still fit through, but it does. Our house is starting to look pretty broke because of all of the patching we've done from things I've ordered improperly in the past.
So what about you? What's your skill that you want to learn?
I can't just steal that one. Like, I wish I would have kept up with it. That I haven't had the chance to. You know, one thing I was looking into, and that the reason why I haven't had a chance is I just can't, believe it or not, find a place around here that offers it, is glass blowing.
Okay.
I really thought, like, I used to watch a lot of those shows where just documentaries or whatever on people doing it. And it just looked so cool. And since I had started getting into more artsy stuff over the last like 5 or 6 years, that was one thing that I wanted to take a class in. And I did actively look for it. And some of the places around here shut down. You know, so there wasn't really anything. And I was very surprised, too, being in the area that I'm in. I thought there'd be at least two.
Yeah.
You know, because there's like so much art stuff for people to take just everywhere. We're big in the arts. But yeah, so if I ever come to an area or move to an area where I actually would see classes or something about that, I would really love to learn how to do that. I may not be strong enough anymore, because I know you need some upper body strength, because that shit can get heavy, you know. And who knows if I have the lung capacity either, but let's see. I'd love to see if I would just drop it and keel over in front of the glory hole. Yeah, they call it that, and I laugh like a kid every time. but yes. But yeah, if I ever had the opportunity to actually see a class, I would love to learn how to do that.
Okay.
And for what? I don't know. Just have more garbage taking up the house. But it's fine.
Hey, it's a passion that you have, and perhaps it would be something that would bear fruit, or maybe it's just something you want to do in your spare time. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, nothing I do artsy would I ever want to turn into any kind of business. I don't want humans telling me what they want out of my art. I just want to do it myself. It's my therapy. If you happen to get stuff from it, great. But I'm not going to be like, oh, I didn't like this, or I want a refund. Like, no. This is my thing. So I'm never going to sell it, because I'm never going to want people to think that they can have a say in what art I make. So
right.
I'll set it out front for free. If you take it, it's on you. Or I gift it, and then that's it. And then that's how it's going to be from here until the day I die. I mean, if somebody was like, I want to give you $1,000 for that piece, I'll be okay. Like, cost you way more than it cost me. I know what the supplies cost. You know, I'm not talking about my time.
Right.
Because I don't care. okay, cool. Let's see. Okay, GPT. Thank you, GPT. Let's say thank you.
Thank you. GPT. Be very kind.
Next question, please. Let's see. You're welcome. Here's your next question. If you could travel anywhere in the world right now, where would you go and why?
Obviously, I think Japan would be the first choice.
So great.
Even though I will admit right now, that's a really hard question, because I've started to, we've been watching The Reluctant Traveler with Eugene Levy. Or Levy.
Oh, yeah. I never watched it, but I knew he was doing that.
Okay. Like, they did a second season where he's traveling around Europe, and he went to some really beautiful places. Like, oh my God. just right. to sit there and just bask in it. I was like, God, I want to go there so bad just to experience that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the $6,000 for a room that he paid.
Oh, Jesus. Well, he probably didn't pay that either.
Well, yeah, true. But it's still just getting to see it and mm-hmm. just wishing you could just be there and just take it in.
I wish I was brave enough to do like that backpacking thing you always used to hear people want to do like 30, 40 years ago. You know, now I'd be too scared.
I think a lot of people are. I think Taken scared a lot of people.
Taken and Hostel.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because I had a girlfriend who stayed in a lot of hostels, actually, because she's like, it's like $11. Yeah, I stay, you know. I'm like, oh my God, I just don't know that I could share a room with that many strangers to maybe get a locker to put my stuff in. Like, good on you for being so adventurous.
Yeah.
You know,
just not in our social vocabulary. It's like other people, like, strangers. No.
While I'm sleeping. No. Nah. You know, like, oh, I don't think I could ever fall asleep.
Nope.
Never.
You'd be too paranoid.
Like, too much. Like, where is people moving? Why am I hearing that noise? Why are you right next to me?
Yeah. Get away. Who smells?
Right. It could be all of us.
But. I think I'll stick with Japan just because I feel like there are two sides to Japan to explore. Mm-hmm. You've got the big cities, the different, I know they have them broken down in different sections. Like you have your shopping areas within a bigger city like Tokyo, Kyoto, and stuff like that. And then you have the more, what would be the term I'm looking for here? Not as,
not as commercial?
I guess more country, I guess you'd say. You
yeah,
know,
more more natural beauty.
There you go. So you go and you get to see, like, going during the Sakura season where the cherry blossoms are coming. Oh, man. I would love to see that. Because they do, like, big festivals and stuff for that.
Mm-hmm.
So I would, if I did go, I'd want to be able to experience two sides of Japan. I'd love to go to the shopping areas. I'd love to see the big cities and how all that is, because I've seen that in movies, but I've also seen the beauty and the wonder of just the countryside. And I would love to stay maybe like in a little...
I'd probably enjoy that more.
Yeah, I think I would too.
I think the older I get, like, while I would still love to go into the downtown areas and stuff just to experience it, it's not as attractive for me to be like, well, let's check out the nightlife. I'd be like, I'd rather, you know, have a cup of tea or whatever the hell they would give me and just let me sit over a lake and look at all that. And I'm more content doing that than in a club somewhere all night. You know, it's like, oh, God, I can't do it anymore.
But I think being able to experience two totally polar opposite halves of the same place is what would make it almost like two vacations. Because, like you said, I would probably, like you, want to stay in, I know what they have a term for it, whatever the homes are, I feel like there's an actual word and I cannot for life of me pull it out of my head.
Yeah.
But, like you said, having a view, maybe even like one of those places have a little pond inside that you can kind of walk out and just.
Like those little koi ponds and stuff like that.
Just little things like that. And I think another thing that's been kind of making that sound more appealing is, I don't know if you've heard about that show on FX called Shogun. It's based on a novel. Mm-hmm. But when it released, everybody was talking about it. It was like, oh my God, this is really great. It was like, it was based on a book. They did a mini series of it back in the 80s. And then when this came out, people were like, this is even better than the book. And the other miniseries, like, they really went above and beyond and really made this amazing adaptation of this book. And I finally went and said, all right, let me check it out. So you get to see the countryside. You get to see all these old customs of Japanese culture. Some are a little bit more barbaric than others, and then some are very beautiful. And the hot springs, oh my God, being able to just relax in the hot springs.
That would be amazing.
Yeah. So it's just little things like that. You see all these little things that you want to experience. And I feel like Japan would be a great place to experience two different things all at the same trip. Mm-hmm. And really, I don't know. I think I might start with the city and then go to the country to kind of unwind and relax. Mm-hmm. You know, after being bombarded with God knows
with all
what.
The lights and all that. Yeah. Because, I mean, their downtown is pretty intense. Yeah. Like, I've been to Times Square. And that felt very intense. But I've been to Times Square. It was like, well, over 20 years ago now. Life just keeps moving, doesn't it? And that was kind of intense. Just from the videos and pictures I've seen of like downtown Tokyo and stuff, way more intense. I feel like it would be. Maybe it's not. Maybe once I started walking it, maybe it's not nearly as long or as large or as what. I don't know. I feel like it's got to be pretty freaking big, though.
It feels like it does. I mean, it definitely looks it. So
I've never looked up like area mileage or whatever from like Times Square to Tokyo or whatever, or I guess New York.
Sure.
I should say New York City, not just Times Square, but like, you know. That's the area most people are walking around down there, you know?
Right.
But do they have a naked cowboy?
I don't know.
Yeah, they might. I don't know.
But I know for one absolute fact, the one place that I would have to go is I'd have to go to Toho Studios. I've seen the building. They got a big Godzilla mural on this building. It's massive. Like it covers the entire side of the building. I love looking at it. They even have like a Godzilla tower in the middle of Tokyo, which is cool. So I want to hit up all these little museums and spots. The Godzilla Hotel would be really awesome, but I've seen the price.
And oh, is it dumb? Like,
I would have to be rolling in it to afford a good room in that. Or at least
Is that a touristy thing? Would you think they'd try to make it a little bit more?
Well, I think probably the room I was looking at, there might be more rooms within the hotel itself, but the room I was looking at is like the big suite, you know, with all the...
Like you went all the way to the top. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I want the full experience.
I wanted it all.
Yeah. So that would probably never happen, but it could.
You never know. You could come into something here. I don't know.
But we'll see. But no, that would definitely be top of my list, hoping that I would get to maybe touch something from a movie. I'm sure it would be off limits in cases and shit like that, but it would just be such a dream. Like, they were like, this was in King Kong versus Godzilla. It was a prop we used, and that's it. And you saw it in this scene. And just to be able to do something like that, I would be like, you know.
No, that would be cool. Going to like those museums and stuff and seeing all of that.
Yeah.
I'm sure they have a lot of it. Ooh, I kind of just want to steal yours. Actually, I've always thought about that too, though. Just like that island around there, every time you've seen pictures or anything, it just does look so serene and gorgeous. And it feels like you were saying, if you go to more of the country, more natural beauty areas of it, it's just so relaxing. It feels like it would actually be a vacation.
Yeah.
I always feel a lot of the times when I'm coming back from a vacation, you're more tired and like you need a vacation from that, you know, because you just you jam pack your itinerary because you're in an area that you never get to visit. And you're like, I don't know when I'll get to come back and try to do all of these things. But sometimes it's like, am I having fun anymore? Or I'm just like making myself do thing to thing to thing to thing so I can get as much in for as little time as I have, you know?
Yeah.
But I feel like you could maybe just even a week. Like, I try to keep in perspective, we're huge.
Yeah.
You know, like, the states are huge. I wonder how long it would take you to, like, go from one end of Japan to the other.
Now, another thing, too, that I would have to kind of keep in mind as well is the season in which I go, because...
Okay, that would be a minute. It's a little longer than I thought.
I would definitely try to make sure that I avoid, I guess, their hurricane, tsunami seasons,
all that stuff. True, yeah.
Because I definitely wouldn't want to deal with that. And then the other thing that they've been experiencing here lately is earthquakes, so...
I did see some stuff about that, and pretty big ones, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Like, ooh, I hope they're okay.
In fact, I was actually listening to a podcast a week or so ago, and a little shout out to John and Yuki's Patreon or Podcast Buffet. It's a show that I like. John Brennan, he's been on Horror Ramblings with us.
Oh, yeah.
And he was talking to Yuki, who was visiting Japan at that time, and they were doing Zoom calls. And an earthquake hit mid-phone call. And they were just like, what's happening? What's going on? He's like, it was an earthquake. He's like, earthquake, are you shitting me? And he was like, yeah. He's like, it was nothing, though. But
I guess you'll get used to it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's from Japan, so he probably was just like, yeah, it's that's
they probably nothing. Have something hanging that'll have to swing so much before he's worried.
Could be, yeah.
You know, because I want to say one of the last ones they had, I had seen a clip from a Twitch streamer who was live when it happened. And I just watched. She was fine. She came back, you know, while everyone's like, get off the stream. What are you doing? You know, she just kind of said, oh, earthquake. And she just got up and bolted. So, of course, you know, like I probably wouldn't take time to shut everything down either. You know, I watched all of that stuff shake it around and their doors look kind of like paper, you know. So that was like coming up and she just came out. I'm OK. And I was just like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
So she just knew, she's like, oh, earthquake, and went to wherever her safe space would be and then came back when it was done. And I was just like, I don't know, man. I've had a little tremor before and I so much so that somebody had to tell me that's what it was.
Yeah, I don't even know what an earthquake feels like. Like, if I've ever experienced one, I don't know it.
Yeah.
And same. I genuinely think, I know I've heard that there are fault lines in Tennessee. I think one is over in Memphis. So
probably that same one that runs all the way probably through, like, Missouri. Because I knew I was really close to one when I lived in Southern Illinois. Because that was always the joke when that fault goes, you know, are we going to have the state split in two or something? I was like, yeah. I don't know.
But if there's ever been a tremor,
I don't know.
Yeah.
And being in a larger city, sometimes shit just shakes when, like, trucks are coming by and all this kind of stuff. So I probably would have just been like, oh, something, dump truck or something came, you know, because supposedly I lived through it because everyone was standing there. Did you feel that? We had like, ice quakes or whatever. We had such a deep freeze that it actually like split some of our ground, and some people's houses said that they felt it like shifting, like the foundation shifting. Shit. I slept through it. So I guess if it was because my friend said he could hear like what sounded like thunder. It was just like or something. And then he found out the next day that that's supposedly what it was. So he heard thunder, you know, a coworker. I heard nothing. So I guess it wasn't that bad because I sleep so lightly. So if it was bad, I think I would have woken up.
Yeah.
Like, But no.
Interesting.
Clue. Yeah.
So what about you? Where would you want to go?
Oh, that's a good one. Well, I guess I could stick to one that I thought I was going to get to do before, you know, the Rona shut us all down that I was actually planning on, where I had it planned out to go to London, into Scotland, into Ireland, and back. And I had actually found an airfare like there and back for like $350. That's not the case anymore.
No.
But and then like each little puddle jumper, or I would have just taken a train or whatever. Obviously to Ireland, I would have had to have taken like a little plane or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know why. I've always just wanted to kind of like run through a Glasgow and go look at it. I'm not as enamored with their whole royalty thing, you know, but I still think like especially in London and around there, some of that, you know, royal architecture and all that stuff that they still kind of hold on to, I feel like would just be kind of cool to experience and walk through. I mean, I'm sure it's nowhere near as magical as they make it seem. I'm sure everyone around there is just like, yeah, we see it, whatever. Half people probably think it's great and the other half think it's stupid that they're even still doing it. I don't know. But I just think I would like to see the architecture. I do like taking architecture tours. And like, what better architecture than going through some like older European places? Because like everything over here is so new.
Yeah.
For the most part, you know, I mean, 100 years really isn't new.
That's true.
You know?
No, yeah.
When you're talking about a lot of these areas and stuff to go through. And I don't know. I just think the Irish accent is so glorious that I want to just be surrounded by it. I'll have no clue what anyone's talking about. Like, I know it's supposed to be English. You know, same with Scotland, though. Scottish, very thick Scottish accents. I'm like, that's not a word. I don't, you know, like, I don't know what you just said. But yeah, and I know I had some people make fun of me that I wanted to go see like the rock statues and everything. They're like, yeah, you're going to drive out there. You're going to go, that's it. And I said, you know what? I understand that though, because every time someone comes visit me in Chicago, they want to see the bean. And I'm like, okay, you're going to get there. You're going to go, that's the bean. And then you're going to let it out. What? Like, that's literally all you can do. Some people like to take a picture or walk underneath it, but that's all there is.
Yeah.
It's just a bean, you know, a giant one. I think it's actually supposed to be like Chicago Sky Gate or something is the actual name of it. But it looks like a bean. Like I don't know. I don't know if you've ever been to Chicago or seen a picture of the bean.
I have not.
But I've been there a lot. And even the first time I went, I was like, we got to go see the bean. And that was my first like, OK. This is a long way to come. To just look at that. So what else are we going to go do, you know, and go look at other stuff? But yeah, there's all those old castles and in the countryside and things like that. I would love to just be able to go, even if I'm just train riding past them, to be able to look at them. And it's not very sunny, so I won't burn to death.
Mm-hmm.
I'll fit right in because I'm very pale. So I don't think I'd have any trouble there, you know. Yeah, I would love to just go through some really old castle countryside architecture and just, I don't know, I'd probably pretend I'm all like posh and royal or something for a minute because it's like so cool, you know.
I do like that. That's a great idea because that was actually something that popped into my head. Again, going back to the Reluctant Traveler, one of the episodes, he went to Scotland.
Ugh.
And he tracked down, apparently his mother is Scottish, and he tracked down his family line and learned about them. And when I heard that, I was like, you know what? That would actually be a good reason to go over there, is mm-hmm. to see if you could track down your, like,
oh,
your
yeah.
ancestors.
You're like very much from over there.
Oh, yeah.
Like I mean, your ancestry test still makes me smile. If I took it, it would probably be the same thing. But I was just like, you can't get any whiter than this.
No,
you just can't.
And at least based on the information that I've found thus far, just where I was digging around, I know for a fact that I could at least go, I think it was to Sweden, and at least track down one of my great-great-great-grandfathers. It's on my mom's side. But they immigrated from Sweden, and I was like, holy shit. So I actually have or had a great-great-great-grandfather from Sweden.
You should, because I'd love to go over there, too. And I want to visit a lot of those little countries over there. Like, there's just so much more. Well, I probably just because the grass is always greener, right?
Sure.
But it just seems like there's so much more cool things to observe and walk around. That, and it probably some people might say the same things around here. We just take it for granted because, like, it's always just there, you know. But like even Germany, I'd love to go run around. Yeah. And now there's where I'd probably find a lot of like ancestors, because from my understanding, like my great great grandfather was like off the boat into Ellis Island from there, you know.
Hmm.
And I can't even remember what they said. The spelling of like my maiden name changed even a little bit because they were trying to make it a little bit more common, I guess, not as foreign sounding or whatever it was in that day and age. But yeah, they even found like his little signature or whatever coming in from off of that, you know, and they all just stayed in New York. So I did a bunch of hunting. I can't find like a lot of people left from like my dad's line. He was an only child, you know, so it was just if I even found someone with that last name, I'm like, I don't even know. I feel like they'd have to be related somehow because it's not like a common last name by any stretch. I've never met another one. It's not like Smith or White or, you know, where it's just like, I don't know. We could be related somewhere, you know, but yeah. I would say I would just love to go run around in all of those, like the pastures and the old castle sides and all that kind of stuff and just like observe and hang out for a while. I'd probably never be able to afford to like stay in one, like if they had it actually like cabbed out or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't even care about that. I would just want to walk by it or take pictures or anything like that. Like I said, even a train ride past it.
Yeah.
I think I would have a lot of fun just like, wow, how cool everything used to look and so much character. You know, it's not like a suburb where you have to know the house number to tell them apart.
Yeah.
You know, which is really bothersome to me, you know, like everything looks the same. It's one box, you know. Okay, let's see. What's the next one? Thank you, GPT. All right, let's see what this one is. Oh, this one will be hard for me. What is your favorite childhood memory and why does it stand out to you? This one will be hard for me. I might skip it.
Favorite childhood memory.
And why does it stand out?
Wow. Yeah, that one might actually stump me for a minute because
I'm like a happy childhood memory. That's where it gets rough, you know? Like there's probably some in there.
Yeah, I feel
not to
like
bring the room down, but you know.
I think that's part of the problem is trying to remember a very specific childhood memory and how far, like, where do you, like, where's your...
What's childhood? Yeah. Like, am I allowed to do a teenager thing or allowed... I would say probably maybe before 14, 13.
Okay. All right, I'm going to use this one because it's a good one, or at least one that I remember.
Okay.
Good childhood memory, and probably not the best or the greatest, but it's just the one that's kind of popped into my head, is I remember when I was maybe in middle school, I think. I don't want to say junior high, middle school. Middle school, junior high, somewhere in there. So maybe I was like 11. I'm going to just spitball.
Probably close, yeah.
My best friend had like a big slumber party, I guess it'd be the best way to put it. So it was like a bunch of us, like group friends and all that. We just hung out. And I just remember having so much fun. Like, we stayed up until the sun came up the next morning, watching movies, talking, just doing whatever, playing games. And how his parents were fine with it, I have no idea. But
some parents were just cool and understood kids are going to be kids. Yeah. And it sounded like it was a weekend. So they were probably like, all right, I don't have to get up for work tomorrow.
But I can't think of a time when I was with that many people at once where there wasn't some kind of conflict or something that just got blown out of proportion. There was a fight or an argument or whatever it may be. I just remember that being nothing but pure fun the entire weekend that we were there spending time. Yeah. And it was time with my friends doing what we enjoyed. And I even feel like we woke up the next morning, because I think it was a Friday that we went. And the next morning, we're all still awake, you know, barely keeping it up.
You know, we used to stay up all night, playing those games.
But I remember watching, we spent all night watching horror movies, and then woke up the next morning and started watching, like, Batman, the animated series, and X-Men, stuff like that. Which, that actually kind of timestamps it. I think that would have been 92. So,
So you were just like on the cutoff there?
Yeah.
Just
like right on the cutoff. But yeah, there might be others. There might be a better one, but that's one that's popping in my head as like a good time.
Right. I wish our brains were better at holding on to that info. I feel like the older you get, the more it just wants to remember all the bad stuff so it can try to like protect you from it in the future. And it's just like, well, that's probably not going to happen again. So we don't have to like constantly ruminate on that one, do we? You know, brain's like, yeah, though.
Yeah,
it might. So you better prep yourself, you know. This one's hard. I know that sucks. How about this one? Because I remember you, like, I always liked being an actor growing up and everything. So make-believe playing around like that was one of my favorite times, especially if I had, like, other kids who wanted to play along. And I don't know if you remember the show on PBS, Ghost Rider.
Yes, I do.
Okay. We were obsessed with that as kids and used to play Ghost Rider a lot. And I can remember me and the one girlfriend arguing over who got to be Gabby. For some reason, she was like all of our favorites. But I can just remember, and one of our neighbors next door, he had, we called it like a fireplace, but he had just like a bunch of wood that was like nailed together and would put like one of those old shop lights from like, you know, that has like the plastic, or not plastic, metal on one side and then like a cage on the other, and would stick it underneath it. So we would always like make believe that, you know, we were around the campfire. So I can remember we had everyone's porch like set up as some area that we were running to for Ghost Rider, and we took over the street. This was back when kids just like ran around all the time outside, you know. Can you come play? So I remember doing that, and then we filmed. We wrote our own movie too, which we did film. And I think I still have it if I had a VHS tape. I mean, it's just awful garbage. I remember my niece was quoting, there once was a little girly. Her hair was kind of curly. You know, like that was her monologue. Yes. Yes. So that was her monologue. My nephew pretended he was a dog and like picking stuff up off the ground, you know, and like, I can't remember what I was doing, but this was our movie, you know, and then Ghost Rider would happen. And I do have fond memories of that, like it being a lot of fun when everybody would play along, you know, it's just like, we were in the show and you know, when your imagination worked.
See, playing pretend, that's another thing I remember doing a lot as a kid too.
Oh my God. Those like were probably my favorite times, you know, like I hope kids get to do that now, but I just don't see them outside. And I know we have kids on the street because I've seen them coming and going. There is a park not on my block, but the next block over on the corner. Sometimes you'll hear some stuff from there because kids are just loud, but I never really. And then we have a preschool that's near here. So I see sometimes the train of preschoolers, which is kind of cute, where they're all having to hold on to the rope. And the teachers in the front and in the back just taking the kids for like a little walk or something. It's kind of funny. They're cute, though. It's like just a train of like 4-year-olds holding a rope. looking around everywhere, you know, and I'm like, oh, is this your outside time? Because that feels sad to me.
Yeah.
So they didn't make you like a little park or anything in your backyard? Because I remember my preschool at least had like a slide and like a sandbox or something to go play in.
Yeah.
We did do the, did you have that? I do kind of remember taking the walk, holding like the bump on a rope. We weren't quite tied to the rope yet.
Mm-hmm.
Like I see kids now, like I feel like they're actually like tied to the rope so they can't go anywhere. But we just held our little bump, not, and then take our walk wherever the hell we were going. I don't know. Probably to a bus or something. I don't know. Okay. I think that about covers that one. You know. All right. Next question, please. Let's see what time is it. Okay. We're still good. Oh, this one's like a very cliche one, but it asked it, so we'll do it.
Okay.
If you could have dinner with any historical figure, who would it be and why? These ones are always hard because I feel like it changes for me any day, you know?
Yeah, because obviously you could go with just some of the
big figures.
Yeah, like, big figure. Anybody that you could possibly think of that are common. And I, you know, I don't want to do the common. Like, I want to say, I want to go talk to Abraham Lincoln and see what he had to say.
I mean, they could still be alive even, I guess. I mean, I guess they're not historical till they die, huh? Maybe is that when we cut it off? Maybe they have to die first.
I don't know. This is...
I know, it's like a cliche question that I feel like is so hard to answer.
Yeah. Because you're never really thinking about it unless...
The question's posed.
Well, yeah, that or maybe if you just happen to maybe watch something with a historical figure.
And then you're like, man, they would be cool. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then you don't remember it the next day because you've moved on to something else. Yeah, that's tough. Because I know there's probably some that I should want to have dinner with, but I'm like, I've read enough that I'm good.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, where I'm like, that's like, if there was like, we want to meet like Buddha or something like that. It's like, nah, no.
And yeah, what classifies as a historical figure? Because what might be historical for somebody might not be as much for another, you know?
I guess like if they were in the history books of some sort, I don't know, pop culture even, I would say.
See, because I feel like pop culture doesn't count, but.
But if they made waves, like you could argue like Elvis still made a huge imprint on a lot of different things.
Okay,
but,
well,
like,
if...
didn't make laws or anything like that, but he definitely made ripples and affected how we looked at rock and roll and shit, you know.
If that's the case, if I could go back to a specific point in time to talk to someone historical,
it'd be Jesus, wouldn't it? You go meet Jesus.
I was actually going to say that as a default, but now that you've opened it up, just because
you
why
know what
not?
I think he existed and was probably a good guy. I mean, I, you know, a conversation with him might be interesting, you know.
But then if he started getting preachy on me, I'd be like, all right, dude, we're
like, look, I know your dad.
Yeah, I know he's cool.
We've heard of him.
Stanley, I think, because he is a historical figure in at least my mind.
Sure.
You know, I'm going to talk about this too, because God damn it, it got me. I shouldn't be mad at this man for all this or still holding a grudge after all this time with Bill Maher and the shit he said about Stanley. But it was also this here recently. I hope I say his name right because I don't have it on me and I'm not as big of a fan as other people. Akira Toriyama, who created Dragon Ball.
Oh.
Huge outpouring. Okay, he passed here recently. Huge.
I was just going to ask if that was the one. Yeah, okay.
From fans, people bringing out artwork, just the love.
See, that to me would be...
And
yeah.
Katrina had showed me a video, like I guess it was a village where he was from in Japan, and they were doing a parade with all of his characters. And I mean, everybody in the town stopped for this parade just to do this in honor of him. And when I'm sitting there looking, it was like, that's what I'm talking about. Okay. Bill Maher would look at this and he would bitch and moan. He's not important. He's nobody. And I was like, but that's bullshit because look at all these people.
Yeah. Look at all these people he touched.
Everybody out there is out there in love and support and memory of this individual who brought them joy, who touched them in some way, shape, or form. How can you say that they are not important They might not be important to you in your fucking world, but
and
you know
what?
And
that's fine.
Yeah, and that's fine. But
just to acknowledge it doesn't make, you know, that's stupid.
And none of these people that I would honestly, I can't. The same with the Stan Lee argument. He made it sound like that if you like comics, if you like superhero movies, if you're lesser, you're stupid, you're the one that's causing all the problems in the country. That's what he said. And I'm sitting there going, what the fuck are you talking about, dude?
Yeah, even I was like, what are you on about, Bill? Because like usually he'll go on those rants, but usually at the end he'll be like, look, maybe I don't understand it or something. But he held pretty strong
on
that one.
And
I was like, what is your problem, dude? Because like you can't be that out of touch that you can't realize other people have different interests than you.
Yeah. And
you know,
just because we don't have the same interest, you feel the need to attack us. And right. I had never in my life felt attacked on his show. Like even if he said something I might not have agreed with, it didn't feel
Which
like
was
an
often.
Yeah. But
honestly,
it never felt like an attack on me. But there was never he never
if
whittled...
it was supposed to be a joke, he should have like told jokes, had a punchline. I could have laughed, but it was like that preachy.
Yeah, that attitude. Yeah. Look at you when he does that smug ass fucking.
He's very, you know, like I used to enjoy his stuff like earlier on.
Yeah.
And I really did enjoy some of the newer stuff too, because he was one of the only ones I could go to that would have a diverse belief system like up there, and they would actually have legit debates and you would hear other opinions that kind of dissented from your own, and you could have that. Now, unfortunately, I don't think that's the case, and I haven't watched him in a very long time because it felt like he was just only getting liberals and only getting this, to the point where I'm just like, well, this is just an echo chamber now. I liked it because you had more political people on. It wasn't just a Democrat, you know, or a Republican. It would be a Green, it would be an Independent, it'd be an everything, you know.
Like one of the last things that I ever watch, because when I get curious,
sure,
you know, if I'll see a clip on YouTube, it has to say something in the headline or something that makes me go, okay, let me hear.
What'd you do?
And there was something with Seth MacFarlane here recently where they actually got into it, and
like him and Bill.
Yeah, it wasn't like a shouting match, but it was. They were disagreeing, and I was kind of on Seth's side. I was like, he's making sense, dude. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. I think you're, he's put in one of those head spaces where he's not going to budge because he feels like
he's
just right.
Too big for himself anymore.
He is.
I feel like that attitude. He's always been kind of a I'm better than you attitude, but I feel like in his old man stage now, it's just like, it's bad. There's no wiggling anymore, you know?
So, but anyway, long way to get around to it.
Yeah.
Since he's dead and I only got to meet him as like in passing, like, oh, hey, and then I'm gone.
Yeah. At cons and stuff. Yeah.
Because I never got to speak to him. It's just that whole experience. It devastates me when I think about it, because that was the whole reason I went up there, was for him, hoping that I could talk to him and just have a conversation, meet him actually. And it was more like, go.
Cons are hard, I feel like, that, because there's just so many people they've got to get through in whatever time frame they've blocked out for him to do it.
Well, it just the people hard. Who are running the venue decided that VIP passes were for everybody.
Oh, and no, you had the same problem I had.
Yeah, they were just handing them out like candy. And I was like, what are you doing? You can't have, everybody can't be
now
a VIP.
Now it means nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, now what it's just doing? General admission.
So
for more money.
They even had to keep people out of the venue at some point. Like, we went to walk back in, and they were just like, we can't have any more people come in. It's a fire hazard. And we're like, what?
Well, then I'm getting some money back is what you're telling me, right?
Yeah, you'd think, but no, that's not what happened. So that was a whole disaster. I'll never go back to Louisville, where that fandom fest
Louisville
bullshit, whatever the hell it was. That was a horrible, horrible con.
That's
I'll never go back.
Unfortunate. Yeah, you spend, cons are not cheap.
They're not.
And to like not get to do all that stuff. Yeah.
Did get to meet a lot of awesome people, but the con as a whole, the people who ran it, they're garbage. That's my opinion. Yeah. Or at least, of course, that was 10 years ago. But anyway,
yeah,
point being,
maybe somebody else has moved on to it. Yeah. There you go, Stanley would be.
Yeah, Stanley would be, I don't even know if it would be any particular time in history that I'd want to talk to him either. Like, would I want to talk to him as he was really creating these characters, or would I want to wait until he's a little older and talk to him? I just, a conversation in general with him, I feel like it could go on for hours.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Just somebody who's had that long of a career and that successful of a career. Man, he saw all of it, you know, like with the print media into TV, into it becoming a huge movie franchise, you know, like. You did that, dude. Like,
yeah, the fact he was able to see that. I've even thought about that here recently. For example, you kind of going back to Japan. Mm-hmm. The guy who created Godzilla, Tomoyuki Tanaka, he passed in 1995. So it was right there as they killed Godzilla in Japan in that last movie. Of course, obviously, that wasn't the end of it. Mm-hmm. But I would love to know how proud he would be of Minus One today. Like, how would he see that and feel about seeing his creation being loved by all? I mean, right. Really, like, yeah. Genuinely, because he's always been kind of a niche character, kind of off in the background. It's like, ah, it's a monster movie. Nobody cares. But now, it's on a whole other level.
Right.
And people are like, everybody's talking about it. Won an Academy Award.
Right.
He's everywhere. So how would he feel about that, seeing that creation today in its glory as it stands now?
Oh, man. One would hope he'd be very proud.
I really hope so. Like, I can't imagine he wouldn't.
Hopefully nobody's bastardized his baby to the point where he'd be like, oh, my God. You know, like, I don't know source material or anything like that. But I mean, hope.
Like, based on what, like, I don't want to go deep into what the movie is, but based on how they present the movie, I feel like that's as close to his original vision of that movie that you could get in a modern setting, because you're going back to the start and just kind of retelling it in a different way. So seeing what they did and really just the emotional gut punch. I mean, it's really hard to think as... For us, because we don't know what it was like during World War II. We don't know what it was like for Japan during that time. We can hear the stories. We can relate in so many ways. But when you look at the original movie, there's a disconnect for us. Mm-hmm. We can sympathize, but we don't know the horrors of it. Sure, I feel like Godzilla Minus One pushes that in and makes you feel that. Yeah. And I think it helps us connect in that way. That film didn't quite do. And it makes it so much better. So I think he would be really, really proud of it. Even what they're doing in America, because I've even talked about this. Like, the movie that's coming up, or I guess by the time this is out, it'll be out.
Yeah, I've been out or whatever. Did you like it?
You know, the film I see as like they've progressed into what they did in Japan. They started out serious, and now they've kind of gone full on. Let's just have fun with it.
Go with it.
And you know what? I'm fine with that, because we've not had that Godzilla in America. Like, an Americanized version of those silly, you know, can't take them serious Godzilla movies. We're always like, no, we got to take the source material serious. And now they're just like, fuck it, let's have fun with it. Let's just, people want to see monsters go smashy, smashy, bang, bang, bang. Let's do it. I got my serious one. I'm getting my fun one. I'm 100% okay with it all.
I'm just right here smiling. This is good stuff. Yeah.
Anybody who's going to complain about it, I don't think you're in the pocket of being a true fan. And I don't mean that to be a gatekeeper, but I feel like a fan can be critical, but you can embrace all of it. You know where it's bad, but you still love it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's,
I have
just
plenty of those.
Yeah. So I can't say as of right now that I went and saw the new movie and was just like, oh my God, it was the greatest thing ever. I might have walked out going, huh.
Damn.
Well, I mean, it was a movie. It was, you know, it had some
fun
moments.
You made a movie.
Yeah. I don't know. I hope to have a lot of fun with it. I'm not expecting Shakespeare. I'm not expecting Godzilla Minus One. I expect just to see my favorite ape, my favorite lizard, beat the hell out of some other monsters. That's all I want. And
there you go. And that's valid.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Long tangent. Stanley, what about you?
What about me? I know I've been sitting here thinking, like, you've got to think of somebody, right, Lise? There's got to
I gave you plenty of time.
I know. But I wanted to also listen and engage in conversation. And my brain can't do two things like that. Shoot. Yeah, this was tough. Well, would George Carlin count?
I think so. Dead? I mean, if Stanley worked for me, George Carlin can work for you.
Because, I mean, granted, it would probably be the same conversation looking around, but I'd just be like, so, how much of a prophet were you, really? Because, damn, you know? But just being such a good wordsmith, being able to tell the stories the way that he did and funny, because I would say he was more like a storyteller. Sure, he had jokes and stuff, but there was a buildup. There was a middle, you know, there was some big end. And for somebody so intelligent from the English language and even talked about how, you know, he was really interested in learning that and just really, you know, embraced that language. And it just, yeah, anyone that could really like spin words around and do storytelling and stuff like that and relate so hard, I just find their brains so fascinating that you were blessed to think in that way. You know, they might find it as a curse. Who knows? If you have such an intelligent, overactive mind, there's got to be a moment where you're just like freaking exhausted and would love for it to just shut off every once in a while. I mean, I heard he was a fan of some drugs.
Yeah.
Whatever. You know, like I don't care. I'm not a moral police. I don't even think we should have laws against that. You want to go do drugs? Go fucking do drugs. I don't care. You know, seriously, I don't know why we're punishing you for it. Yeah. I don't have much more to say to that because I feel like anybody probably that's listening probably is very aware of George Carlin. And if you're not, I would highly recommend going and watching some of his sets. You'll be very creepily surprised at how much of it is still very, 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 very relevant. Like, it would almost be like, did he just write this a couple of years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, he died well before that, but... You know, and then, of course, with all that over nonsense, well, I won't call it nonsense. Like, I think it was very valid to be upset with, you know, he's so loved. People are trying to create AI, you know, to make it like he's back here again, telling jokes about all this kind of stuff, you know. So, yeah, I mean, I don't have a long tangent to go on for that. He was one that like I never got to go like see a set. And I'm a huge fan of stand-up comedy. Like if some stand-ups are coming around my area, that's the one thing I like to still go do. I like to laugh. I like to have an evening of nonsense and tomfoolery. And I will gravitate towards new comedians, even like when I used to have Netflix and stuff like that. I want to give them all a shot. What if there's one that's really funny and I'm just going to have a freaking great time for an hour, hour and a half, you know? Sometimes I don't get past 20 minutes, but I gave you a try, you know? Man, though, I would have loved to. All these things you think about now, though, like in the moment, you always take for granted these things, you know, and then now it's like, man, how cool it would have been to go see one of his sets.
Yeah.
Maybe they did come around me and I just wasn't even thinking to go like check, you know, because he was still in a pretty good heyday when I was coming up, you know. Like I know once it got more 2000s and stuff like that, he was very old man screams at clouds, you know, like I get that. Probably still had making the right sense. To. Yeah, it still made sense, but it was just like, oh, you're very angry now. I get it, you know. But yeah, that'll be my answer. Okay. Maybe we got time for one more.
Yeah, let's do one more.
One more question, please. Of course. Here's your final question. Oh no, another cliche one. It'll be hard. Okay. What's one piece of advice you would give to your younger self if you could go back in time? Kind of feels like a nice wrap-up question too.
I am gonna admit I've thought about this many times. Trying
therapy has made me think about this.
Yeah.
They do those exercises, by the way.
I think I would probably give, I guess it really depends on when we're giving this advice, because I don't want to go back to me as a kid, because that
you weren't taking anything in really yet. Yeah.
You just like see this older version of myself going, what are you talking about? I don't understand. So probably maybe when I was about...
I'm still looking at trucks, man. Playtime. What do you want?
17, 18, maybe right there I feel like I could make a difference. Maybe get in. I think I would try to have myself really pay attention to my feelings and how I'm reacting, all the things that people got these assumptions about me, that I'm just an angry man and things like that, and try to help that version of myself kind of figure out how to handle it and explain it to people. And maybe even to some degree, try not to win every scenario.
You don't have to win every argument.
Yeah, you don't have to be the best at everything. Because I want to bring this up, and this is me outing myself as a very terrible person, but I was a teenager. And
that's when we're supposed to learn those lessons, and I'm going to stand by it. All of us were shitty humans when we were teenagers. Prove me wrong.
Yeah. Go ahead. So I don't know why this crossed my mind the other day, but I started thinking about it, and I fucking hated myself for it. Like, just started beating myself up for it, going, what the hell was I thinking? Why did I do that? What's wrong with me?
I'm sure we all have one of those.
And to this day, I have no answer. I don't know what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. I don't. And I wish I could apologize to the person that I wronged in this scenario, because when I look back on it, I think she was kind of sweet on me, and I didn't see it that way, and I misread some shit. So
did you act like a creep?
No,
asshole,
no.
Teenage boy, or
more like a, what would be the best term here? Man whore, I guess would be kind of a better term, because there was this girl in one of my classes in high school, and she sat in front of me, and we would talk every now and again before class, and somewhere in our conversation, she said something about not ever getting a rose from a guy or something like that. And I thought, I'll get you one. You know, I just thought, you know, I'll get you one. That'd be something nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And she's like, okay. She's like, well, didn't seem like it registered. She's like, oh, yeah, whatever, you know.
Sure. Like, sure, sure, he's going to get me a rose.
And then, I don't know, just the conversation continued. And she would kind of bring it up every now and again. She's like, well, you know, I guess I'm still waiting on that rose or whatever. And that's when I was like, all right, well, maybe I should get her something. Now, in my head, for some reason, I thought that she doesn't need a rose. She needs something that she can enjoy forever, because a rose is going to die. But then there was also this other girl that I was sweet on. And so I thought I would send her the rose and send this other girl who wanted the rose a little stuffed bear with a rose, but not a real rose, just like had a little rose.
Okay. Yeah. I think I might still find that cute if I were her.
And I thought, hey, you know, I can let this girl know that I like her, and then I can still give her something. And this is Valentine's Day, by the way, so just makes it even better. And then I thought in my head, I thought, I'm giving her something she'll remember and she can have for always, not a withering rose that's going to die. And that's what I thought I was doing. Mm-hmm. Well, our conversations ended pretty quick after she got the bear and found out that the other girl got a rose. Because kids talk.
Yeah, they do.
And then suddenly, I guess I have a reputation of being some sly dog that's trying to play the ladies. And that wasn't my intention.
As a teenage woman, I probably would have thought the same. Like, oh, you're giving both of us gifts now, are you? All right. Just see which one of us sticks. Which one says yes. All right. Fine.
You know, yeah. Yeah.
I can probably see that, especially as a teenage woman. Ah.
So I hate myself for that. I would probably have talked myself out of that scenario. Because had I given the other girl a rose, what would have happened?
I mean, and not given her the bear one, you probably would have, it might have been worse. I don't know. Oh, so you gave her a rose and me nothing. I would just be like, don't give out gifts. You don't, you don't plan on meaning. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've thought about that, or I was thinking about it recently for some reason, and I just, it's like, fucking wrong with me. Like, I just disgusted with my behavior, even though in my head I thought it made sense, because I didn't know she was sweet on me. I just thought I was just like, okay. Should have just stuck to my guns. She wanted rose, give her a fucking rose. How hard is it?
Yeah. Back then it was like nickels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where are we going with this?
The advice. Oh yeah, the advice.
Yeah,
people.
No. Be smarter. Think your shit through. Mm-hmm. Maybe watch out for that one girl that. I better not say that.
Yeah, no. Some lovely things came of it, even if it was.
That's true. That's true. There's a lot would be different if that didn't happen. So. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just being more aware of me and my feelings, and mm-hmm. actually realizing that there's nothing wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
Something wrong with my brain that I can't help. I can't help how I react to things. So yep. I think having that information early on and trying to get them to understand that, being like, look, dude, you're going to have moments. Mm-hmm. You're going to have outbursts. But you need to realize why they're happening. What are the triggers? What is the problem? What is causing mm-hmm. all that? And then when people are calling you out on it, you tell them point blank, I cannot help it. I'm not choosing to do this. Yeah. I'm not.
Yeah. I wouldn't say to use that excuse. I'd just be like, you know what? You're right. This is one of those moments that I needed to be working on.
Right. No. And don't get me wrong. It's like, I feel like I can control it a lot more today because I'm more aware of it.
Sure. You got to practice.
Because, really. And I think that's the path I would try to set that kid on.
Yeah.
Like, here's what you need to do. I said, no, it's going to be tough, dude. But back then I didn't understand it. And I would, I remember a time I was hounded. Like, I just felt like I was being ganged up on. And the only thing I knew to do was punch a wall.
Yeah. And when did that help?
It helped nothing. Yeah. It got everybody off my back. But
and your hand probably hurt really bad.
There was a hole in the wall. My hand hurt. Just a lot. It ended the conversation. It got everybody off my back. But was it the right way to handle it? No. It was just, but I felt cornered and I didn't know what else to do. And it was just like, I'm going to snap. And I did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would hope to help that kid through those situations better. Mm-hmm. Give him the tools he needs then to be a better person now. Because it would have saved so much grief in a lot of ways. And especially when it came to arguing with a certain person about how certain conversations are going down. And maybe even, hopefully, I don't know. I don't know how it would have played out. Had I had those tools back then, things could have been a hell of a lot different. In a lot of ways, but for me, I would want it for that kid because I feel like it would help him cope with a lot more in a much easier fashion, you know. And I can't change the past, but that would be something I would definitely try to strive for, is hopefully set him on a proper path of understanding the mental.
The
malfunctions we have and how to deal with it. You know, it's not going to be something that's just going to be corrected, but I feel like if I'd had the tools earlier, I could have done a lot more and really been able to work through a lot. Mm-hmm. But
sure.
Here we are. What about you?
Well, ours might be fairly similar, although it's like there's a part of me who says, why would I even bother? Because a lot of this stuff we're not even going to learn until we've been faced with an experience that makes us have to make a decision in the moment. So it's like, I could prep a kid for all sorts of things, but are they mature enough with the mental fortitude to hang on to that, to be able to implement it when the situation arises? You know, I almost feel like the only way we learn our lessons is when we do those big F-ups and then have to sit in the embarrassment, take your talking to, whatever your guilt was after, to be the driving factor to make yourself better. So it's almost like I would rather just tell her, like, a lot of the stuff is valid. You're not being a baby. You don't, it's not that you just, you know, you're so overly sensitive to everything. It was not because you were just selfish and everything had to be about you. Like, you're going to have those moments when you have the outburst. At least have the wisdom to know when to apologize. Try to make that right. Because you and I think, are pretty similar in that. I'm a hothead through and through. And especially in my young 20s and into my 30s, I was really bad. I feel like it's only been over the last 5 or 6 years. And I hate to say it, it's probably because I just don't have to be around people as much. Honestly, I don't know that my attitudes really changed that much. But anytime I thought it was going to be something I needed to defend, I would go in and I wouldn't shut up and I'd say really horrible, mean things because I thought that would be the thing to like get you to walk away. Yeah. I was never a violent person and I would say shit I didn't even mean. But for some reason, my brain would just keep trying to concoct all of these horrible statements that I think is going to be the most hurtful thing so I could win in this situation. And then I walk away. Maybe I won, quote unquote, that fight. But now I feel horrible. I know that wasn't right. I would have never stood for that if someone did that to me, you know, and start going through all that. So it wasn't until almost 20 years later when you start like, wow, that's a problem and a pattern. You know, somebody walking up to me at the store, they're just doing their job asking me, how fast is your internet? I'd go on a 30-minute rant about why you just bothered me, why you like make you hate yourself for even trying to come over here and sell me anything. That poor guy was just like, Jesus Christ. All right. You know, I'm doing my job. This bitch had to be, you know. So I think that would be, I think my biggest piece of advice is like, this is going to happen. And you're not even going to learn that it's a problem probably until after you've done it and it's come out of your mouth. Have the wisdom to know when it was wrong, when to apologize. They may not accept it. And to figure out a way to be okay with that too.
Yeah.
You know, pretty much just here's some tools to regulate your own emotions. And then eventually, I think after a couple of those times, you start to go, oh, this is what she was talking about. So instead of me continuing on for another 10 years that way, I could start using those tools a little bit earlier. So maybe I wasn't a bitch past 35 instead or something, you know, like maybe only up to 35 were you a horrible person. I don't know how the hubs stuck around. There's a lot of times where I was just like, I don't like him and I have never fought, but he's been there. When I've lost my mind for honestly no reason. Like I'll even look back on it like I can't find the good reason why I was that bad. But I felt it.
Mm-hmm.
My whole body was pissed and tingling and it took over my brain for the rest of the day. You have my whole day is now ruined because I don't know how to get out of my head.
Those and are I the think worst.
Teaching that rumination is my death. That's what's going to be the death of me, honestly. It's just rumination. And then, yeah, try to tell myself that maybe get some hobbies and shit now. Later on in life, you're going to really wish you had some other kind of skills that can help you through a lot of this stuff, you know. And I'd probably be like, psh, I can do it later. But, yeah, I think for the most part, all of this stuff, you're not going to learn until you just do it.
True.
Honestly. I mean, the more I look at kids, they know a lot. But it's like, and I was the same way. They don't know life now, though. That was when they were a kid. They don't, you know, and a lot of that is true. There's going to be generational disconnects or whatever. But they were still a child. Our parents were still a teenager. They still probably had angst and acted out and made all these horrible decisions, you know. And then after you've done it is when the lesson was learned. I just don't know that you're ever going to understand the impact of something until you've experienced certain things.
Yeah.
You can understand what it does. You can study how it happens, all this. But until you're actually doing a thing or in the midst of something and then have the time past it to reflect and you have to sit in the uncomfortable crap you just made for yourself.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's missing a lot from today is we're trying to avoid that uncomfortable feeling for ourselves. So we're never having to face anything real. Yeah. You just got to learn to sit in it. Take your talking to. And feel bad. And then that, I think, is your driving factor to actually make change. Unless you're just okay with sitting in it. And eventually, I'm sure some people just like your conscience can eventually get turned off. Or if you weren't even taught any kind of empathy, you know, that. Sorry that your parents or caregivers did that to you, you know. But yeah. So my advice would probably just be to her. This is going to happen. Have the wisdom to reflect back on it sooner than you did. All those times you felt guilty, you can stop that. Still have the wisdom to stand up for yourself when it's necessary, but not everything was about you and not everything was being done to you. You know? Yeah. I guess that would be it. And then tell her to chill and maybe smoke a little bit more. Calm down, you know? Get pot in your life sooner. Chill.
I mean, everything you said is highly relatable. I've had those moments. I can still get into those moments. If I get really, really agitated,
yep.
It feels like it takes forever to come down. And I feel like at that point, I just need to be isolated.
You just got to move. Yeah. I feel like I've just got to remove myself from a situation and be completely by myself and just let myself sulk in whatever it is. Why make everyone else so pissy? That was the other thing, too. It's like, I needed to make sure you understood I was mad and that everyone needed to be coddling to my anger.
Mm.
Like, you know, I'd want to be, I'm not going to be just, all right, and walk in the other. I'm going to slam the door. I'm going to say the shit loud. Oh, I heard that. I said it loudly. The point was for you to hear it, you know, like, the big C word.
It makes me so, I don't know if I should say happy, because it is a terrible thing to do, but it makes me feel not alone that I am not the only person who thinks horrible shit to say to people in those mad moments, because I have done the same. And I'm like, this is why I don't want to fight. Because I know that I'm going to say some very horrible shit that is
I
just
never even thought of until now. Yeah. That's the thing, you know.
I will devastate you, and I'm going to feel very bad about it. And that's why I would just rather avoid it altogether.
Sure. Yeah. You know? I think that's another thing, too, because like even I could look back on like some friendships that I've had that are no longer, where I went, if either of us were just willing to budge a little on that thing. And it got vicious. And then we'd start throwing each other shit back at each other that we trusted each other with, you know? And I think I'm well past that now. I would never use anybody's anything against them if you treat me wrong. Mm. Like, I just don't have it in me anymore to want to be that petty back. But we're probably not going to be friends anymore. Sure. I'm just going to nip it there before I make myself feel guilty by throwing, you know, all of this vitriol back at you, because I'm just tired of feeling like garbage. I'm still going to be upset about this whole situation and ruminate on it and be very upset. Hmm. I don't need to add more to it by me being irrational, I think, is what it is back. It's not steeped in any rationale. And then I think sometimes I swung the pendulum too hard the other way, that I let some things just go that I probably should have stood up for myself for. So I guess I've got to find that middle. It'll swing eventually to where I find the nice little thing. But yeah, so don't go too far the other way where you just let people walk all over you. Mm. But have the wisdom to know when you need to use it, and then it doesn't have to be that hateful when it happens.
Yeah. Very true. Very true.
Excellent. Well, there you go. Thank you, ChatGPT.
Yes, thank you.
I think that was fun. I got to learn some things I didn't know about Steven. And I've been imagining probably anybody knowed. Knowed. It's a word.
Yeah, we knowed that.
They knowed that about me.
Knowed it.
But yeah, it was fun. I'll have to ask it to come up with something else for us maybe one day. See, I'm not even going to think anymore. AI is helping me create my content. No, I guess I was hoping there'd probably be some like, what the hell was that question in there? But no, it was very basic. Very family friendly.
Maybe poke at a little bit more and say, no, give us some tough ones. Give us some tough ones.
Let's see. Give me a tough one. I just want to see what it would say.
Yeah.
If you had to choose between pursuing your dream career in a field you're passionate about, but with uncertain financial stability, or opting for a more stable job that doesn't align with your passions, which would you choose and why?
See, now that is not a fair question.
This is kind of easy to me, actually.
I mean,
for somebody who hates money, this is easy for me. I would go with the job that I'm passionate about and be done with it. And
I mean, I would kind of agree with you too, depending on what my situation was. True. Like, yeah. I feel like had I not been a stupid teenager who got someone pregnant, I think, you know, I've heard all these stories about actors and writers and whatnot. They just pick up and they move, and they're like, no, I'm going here. I'm going to struggle it. I'm going to do it. I think I could have done that. I don't know how well I would have adjusted.
But still being able to get to it younger, or when you still had like the energy and the passion. And
as a younger man with no ties, I would have definitely pursued that.
I wish I would have hopped on YouTube sooner.
You know, I did.
I'm not saying that it would have helped or anything, but it's like a lot of these that you see that are just like out of control, and like they've even crossed into the regular, you know, public pop culture kind of thing. Like, they started really early when YouTube was just kind of getting started. And I always was just like, of course, I used to think I was talented. You know, I was like, if I would have just taken advantage of any of these things that other people did while it was being developed, I often wonder if I would have been able to make a dent in something. You know?
I get it.
Of course, I thought the same thing about Twitch, too. But it was around already for a bit when I came around. But I did. I was very convinced I was entertaining enough. This was going to pop off, you know? So who knows?
Yeah, I tried. Like, I was on YouTube fairly early, but I still don't know what YouTube wants. Because I can post.
YouTube doesn't know what it wants.
If you go through my channel, there is so much of different variety. And none of them, with minor exceptions here and there, have really gotten the views that people are like, oh my God. So I don't know what do you want? What do you want? So
I don't understand either. It's like you almost already have to have a ton of views before it's like, okay, and then it throws you at other people's algorithms. But I'm like, well, how am I going to get the views if you're not going to put them in the app? I don't. Maybe that's what I would tell my younger self. Pay attention and learn the fucking internet, would you? Because it's going to be such a powerful tool that you need to learn how to do all this. And heck, I probably could have just been rich by knowing tech.
Sure.
You know? Learn tech, Lace. Mm. Learn tech more than you do now. That would be, I think, a good advice to give myself. Learn editing and all that stuff now and do it. But yeah, so me, I would just say passion job. And if I made enough money to pay my bills, that's kind of all I've ever wanted in life anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I was very simpleton. I didn't even want to be famous. I just wanted to act enough to pay bills and call it a day, because I think I'd be a bad famous person too, because we just talked about my attitude. those paparazzi coming at me. I would have been canceled probably, or called Britney Spears or whatever, you know, when we were demonizing her for having her breakdown because we were pushing her to the edge.
Yep.
I would be that person throwing stuff at them and telling them to get the hell out of my way. I just wanted to buy a freaking gallon of milk, for the love of God. That's all I wanted.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have to send somebody out to do that for me, you know.
Hell, I would just be happy doing voice work or commercials and just getting those residuals or something, you know.
Anything entertaining. I know my residuals are getting to be nothing now. It's kind of hilarious. I'm like, this paper's probably costing you more. But
probably.
But I did see a streaming thing on there. I didn't get any money from it, so it looks like it is starting.
Oh, cool.
So, like, put it, I saw it in the breakdown. There, it said $0. So I guess it is, maybe you were grandfathered in, like people who are starting now can get those maybe. And then if you were before it, that's just how life is.
It's just bullshit.
Whatever. Well, I mean, anytime you have progress, there's always going to be somebody who was like, oh, but, you know, which is why I think it's funny when you hear student loans. Well, I had to pay for it. So nobody's ever allowed to have any help ever because you suffered. Got it. You know, like there's always going to be that person. And I feel it.
Sure.
I do. But in my head, I'm going, but that's what we wanted. So even if it's just better for the next person, then that's better, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. I thought it was interesting. Maybe superficial questions, but again, I liked learning a few new things. Maybe we'll try something else like that, you know.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to throw this out to the siblings. If any of you have questions that you want us to answer, could be very much similar to what ChatGPT is doing. Maybe you want a deep dive question. Don't get too personal, you know. I feel
like there's a couple of things I'll be like, nah,
we're not going to talk about everything. But if you do have a question that you're very curious about, maybe you want us to answer for you, let us know. Either tag us on social media at SuperMegaCrash or send us an email at SuperMegaCrash@gmail.com. And if we get enough, maybe we could do a whole episode just answering fan questions. I would love that.
Yeah,
that would be fun.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, let's hear what you have to say. What questions do you want us to answer? Whatever, okay? Doesn't have to be anything specific. Whatever you want to know, you know, ask away.
Yeah.
And we'll even if we get a few, we'll still do it
we'll
in
still
some
answer.
Way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would love to hear from all of you out there, siblings. So send us a question, support the show over on Patreon, 5-star reviews on your favorite podcasting app to help the show grow, and finally keep up with all things over at pencilpayproductions.com/supermegacrash. Links are in the show notes down below. Join us again next week, siblings, but until then, go beyond your limits.
Yeah.
This has been a Pencil and Paper Podcast Network production.